The Baltimore Ravens and Greg Roman officially part ways. We talk about the move. We talk about Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh, and Eric DaCosta's end-of-season press conference. So much to dive into on this live instant reaction episode of Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into our second ever live Locked On Ravens episode. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of RavensWire. We're here as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for being here with us this evening, about 6:30 Eastern, making us your first listen of the day. We're free and available everywhere you get your podcasts, including over on video form in YouTube. And today's live episode of Locked On Ravens is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Just pick 2 to 5 players. And if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com. Promo code Locked On. And we have a lot to talk about. There was a lot that happened here today on Thursday. But the big news, obviously, was the fact that the Baltimore Ravens and Greg Roman officially part ways. This is a good move, I think, for honestly both sides. I mean, for Baltimore in particular, but I've been saying it for a very long time here on Locked On Ravens, where it just seems like it got very stale between the Ravens and Roman. It wasn't working. The offense wasn't growing. I think they just needed to both move on, and we finally got that news on Thursday. So we'll be talking about that today. This is a live episode, so I'll be engaging with the chat in the comments. So if you want to, on YouTube, if you're with us, comment in the live chat or even down below. I'll get to those after the stream. We have Mark in here saying we will always have 2019. Farewell, Giro. And that, look, that 2019 offense, historic in so many ways. Greg Roman, the architect of that. But the thing for me was that after that, it didn't really grow a ton. Yeah, I think we saw what the Ravens could be at their peak, and then they didn't grow from that. So I think a new offensive coordinator and a new mind will go a long way for this organization and for this franchise. So we'll talk about everything today. We'll talk about Lamar Jackson's status, what John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta had to say about everything. So if you haven't already, be sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel. I really appreciate if you do. It helps out a ton. We do daily Ravens content here 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Actually, we're going to do a Friday morning episode. We always do, you know, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. We're going to put out a more in-depth conversation about the Ravens and their offensive coordinator candidates to replace Greg Roman. So we'll have that out right around 6 a.m. Eastern time. And also, if you're listening to this instant reaction episode live or after the fact or in audio form, I'll put it out there. I really appreciate it. But so let's talk about Greg Roman now. He was with the Ravens for 4 years. I feel like for now, like the offensive coordinator shelf life, it's pretty short. And I feel like 4 years is actually kind of a long time, because usually it goes like this. If there's a successful tenure for an offensive coordinator, they usually get interviews for head coaching positions pretty early on. Like Eric Bieniemy, I think, is a very rare example of a guy who has stayed. And I think Eric Bieniemy deserves a head coaching spot. He's to me, deserved it for a very long time. But that's a rare example of a very successful offensive coordinator where that offense doesn't get stale, somehow not getting a head coaching position. For Greg Roman, you know, we heard the Stanford rumors, which I know so many people were happy about. But at the same time, this is a coordinator that I never thought was necessarily bad, but I just don't think was the right fit for the Ravens moving forward for an offense that will hopefully be led by Lamar Jackson. So I did want to first, before we talk about anything else, just talk about Roman's pure stats, like the offensive stats under Roman. He took over for Marty Morningweg full-time in the 2019 season. Obviously, that year they went 14-2. I mean, historic. Baltimore averaged 5.5 yards per carry. They were the best rushing offense in the league by a wide margin. But the key is they were also a top 10 passing offense. They were 10th in the league, 6.9 net yards per attempt. And I like to do yards per attempt in terms of how I break things down instead of actual total yards. Because total yards, if you run the ball 500 times and another team runs the ball 10 times, you're going to have more total yards. I want to do it by averages to see, even if a team has a lot more rushing attempts, what did they do with those rushing attempts? How good was it in terms of a yards per carry average? So Baltimore, the best rushing offense in the NFL that year and a top 10 passing offense. That's the recipe for success. dominate on the ground, and you're able to also be really, really good through the air. Now, 2020 comes around after, obviously, the disappointing end that the Ravens had there. And the Ravens still number one rushing offense in the NFL. They were really, really good that year. Again, 5.5 yards per carry on the ground. But they took a step back in the passing department, 21st in the NFL in net yards per attempt. And there was a clear discrepancy. I mean, Baltimore had 555 rushing attempts compared to 406 pass attempts. I think that got some people up in arms in terms of they wanted more of a balanced system. So that is the 2020 season, which honestly, it took them a while. I think the Ravens in 2020 got too cute early on trying to say, hey, we can run the ball, but we're going to show you we can throw the ball too. Instead of just feeding into that identity. I think it's fine. Even moving forward, it's fine for the Ravens to be a run first team, but I think you have to feed into that identity while also being able to have a competent, at least, passing attack. Now let's move over to 2021. A season lost due to injury, obviously. They were still a top five unit in rushing. They averaged 4.8 yards per carry, but they were, again, in that 19th range in passing, which was 5.9. Now, they were a lot more balanced. In fact, they passed the ball a lot more in 2021 because they lost J.K. Dobbins and they lost Gus Edwards. They had 621 pass attempts compared to 378 rushing attempts. So you have that. But then 2022 was the year where the injuries, people were healing up, they had expectations. And the offense just didn't take a step forward. They were still, again, top five rushing offense. They were third in the league, 5.2 yards per carry, but 21st in the league in net yards per attempt with 5.8. Lamar Jackson goes down. That obviously hurts the prospect of things. But for Roman, I think what did him in, like the ultimate thing that I think, you know, you could list out a couple of things in terms of why Greg Roman is no longer the offensive coordinator in Baltimore. But I think the main thing was players were just openly speaking out about their unhappiness in the offense. I mean, J.K. Dobbins openly saying that, you know, he deserves more touches. He wants to be that guy. He wasn't, you know, bashing Lamar Jackson. He wasn't bashing Tyler Huntley. You know, that was saying, hey, coaches, give me the ball. I want the ball. I should be out there in those situations. And this goes back. It's not just an isolated incident. There weren't like two or three instances where this happened. There were like, I probably couldn't even count on two hands how many incidents there were in terms of former players, current players, analysts speaking out about the offense and just how it wasn't fully maximizing Lamar Jackson's potential. The play calling was, you could even go to the playoff game in the wild card round, the play calling, the time management at the end of the game. And I think that's not completely on Roman. I think John Harbaugh in terms of time management also, you know, deserves some blame in that situation too. But for me, I just think that this was the right decision. It was one that was needed. I would have been floored if the Ravens kept him in this situation. But I think for Roman, you do have to give him credit where it's due in the fact that he did have really good rushing offenses. And, you know, sometimes the grass isn't greener. I think the grass will be greener this time around. But at the same time, you have to look at it from the Ravens need to grow. They need to not be complacent. And like John Harbaugh said, everything does come to an end at some point. And I think that this was the right time. Honestly, you could have argued for it last year, but I gave both coordinators a pass last year because of injuries. The Ravens decided to move on from Don Martindale, bring in Mike McDonald. So now the question becomes just what is this offense going to look like? Will Lamar Jackson be back? And in the press conference, John Harbaugh said Lamar Jackson will have input into the new offensive coordinator and whatever that system is. So if that's not saying, hey, we want Lamar back, we're planning on Lamar being back. The Ravens made it very clear throughout the entire course of this thing that they expect Lamar to be back and they are hopeful for Lamar to be back. Now, I'm not saying it's set in stone. I'm not going to put that out there because one, I don't want to jinx it. I want him to be back. And I don't want to say, yeah, he's 100% back because that's not confirmed. And I'm not putting that information out there. But I think at the same time, what the Ravens now have is an opportunity to grow as a team, grow as an offense. They can bring in different personnel packages if they want to, but you have to be able to put the right guy in place. You can't just have the Ravens be, well, we got rid of this one guy. It wasn't really working out. And then the next guy that comes in is worse, right? You can't have that. Where the Ravens after Gary Kubiak, they kind of circled through guys a little bit. I mean, the Mark Trestman days were not pretty in Baltimore whatsoever. Marty Morningweg, marginal-ish success, but still not what you wanted for an offensive coordinator. So I think there are plenty of qualified candidates out there. But now it's a matter of can the Ravens get that guy? Can they find the guy to unlock Lamar Jackson, to unlock this offense? And so we'll continue diving into what this means for the Ravens, continuing talking about what John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta had to say. about this team. Coming up here, we still have a lot to talk about. I'm really excited. Again, second ever live show here on Locked On Ravens. But first, I do want to tell you a bit about Bet Online. And this episode is sponsored by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source of sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. You can get all the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football, playoffs, basketball as well. I'm a Denver Nuggets guy, so a big basketball guy over here. They've got it all over at betonline.net. And if you have sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They're the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website to use a mobile device and learn more. Bet Online, where the game starts. We're back here with our second segment of Locked On Ravens after the news that the Ravens and Greg Roman have officially parted ways. I'm going to get into some comments here before we are again live here on the Locked On Ravens YouTube page show. If you haven't already, be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and also follow along in audio form again 5 days a week. I really appreciate all the support. These have been, it's only been two so far. It's my second day out here, but I'm really excited to continue doing these. We'll get to some comments. The Chef 87, hey, Kevin, this made my day. Great hearing you on Cordell's show last night. Yeah, Cordell's great. I'm going to try to get him on here on Locked On Ravens throughout the offseason, but I'm glad this made your day. I'm glad I was able to do it here today. Lisa Frankel, I'm not happy at all with Greg Roman gone. And there are people who are not happy with the move. And I totally understand that viewpoint because, again, Greg Roman, I'm going to say it still, is not a bad offensive coordinator. I just don't think it was the right fit moving forward for what the Ravens need and for what the Ravens need to grow. So I understand people who are saying, well, maybe the grass isn't greener, but I just think the Ravens needed more growth and they hadn't shown it over the course of that. You could even argue the last like three-ish years, they hadn't shown enough growth as an offense completely to justify keeping Greg Roman based off of also the play clock and the play calling and the time management. So that's just my opinion, but there are other opinions out there that said, hey, maybe they shouldn't have made this move. So time will tell, obviously. We'll see who the next guy is, and we'll talk about those. Mark, again, Giroux has legitimately innovated NFL offenses but has a lot of weaknesses as a coordinator despite the run game creativity. You know, I think that's a very fair point. I think Mark makes a very fair point there. It is okay to criticize someone while also pointing out that they do have strengths. It's okay to say that someone is good at what they do while pointing out they do have weaknesses. And sometimes those weaknesses do not align. You know, we're talking football here, so sometimes those weaknesses don't align with a football franchise's goals, with expectations, with what they need. And for, again, an offensive coordinator, 4 years is a long time to kind of show what you got. But to me, it just seems like the Ravens put everything out on the table in 2019 and then didn't really evolve enough past then. And we also have Evan Darren Giro left on his own. Yeah, I mean, it's a parting of ways. The Ravens didn't fire. Well, it's a matter of how they put it, right? They could have said they fired him, but it didn't happen that way. They said they parted ways. Mike Garofalo of NFL Network put out that Roman had, what was it, like a year, $3.5 million left on his deal. And then everyone was like, what? I thought the contract expired. Like, what do you mean? And so everyone was like, well, okay, I guess he's coming back. But then, what was it, like an hour before the press conference happened, they made the move. And, you know, John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta were very appreciative of what Greg Roman brought to Baltimore. And again, different organizations put it different ways. Some just say outright fired. Some say they part ways. Stepping down to pursue other opportunities is what the Ravens put out as well. So regardless of how it happened, it did happen. You know, the Ravens and Greg Roman are no longer partners, as they will say. Derek Jones, I hope it's not that Taggart dude. They snuck in for a visit, another Roman special. Yeah, the Ravens, I think that goes under the radar. The Ravens brought in Willie Taggart, you know, an offensive-minded guy. But it feels like, to me, the Ravens could experience success in other ways that aren't necessarily Willie Taggart. I mean, personally, some of my top choices, and we'll kind of dive into this again on the Friday edition that comes out at 6 a.m. tomorrow. I think Frank Reich is a really good coordinator candidate for them. You have others as well. If you want to look, so the Ravens pretty much said they're going to look internally and externally. So they're going to cover their bases, which I think they absolutely should do. They should take their time. You know, they shouldn't wait until like August, obviously. You can't wait that long. But they need to be thorough in what they do. Interview a lot of different candidates, figure out what they want for their offense, but also what Lamar Jackson wants. If he is back, obviously, that's the big question. But if Lamar Jackson is back, what he wants for his specific offense. So I think Frank Reich would be a good coordinator candidate for them. Baltimore would get another guy in with head coaching experience, obviously Super Bowl champion. Reich was also an offensive coordinator for a couple of teams. Obviously, Philadelphia was one, but also was with the Chargers back when they were the San Diego Chargers from 2014 to 2015. He was really instrumental in Carson Wentz's early development. Obviously, hasn't necessarily worked out for Carson Wentz after the Eagles' days, but I think Reich is someone who I'm interested in. If you want to go internally, candidates include T. Martin, maybe James Urban, maybe look at George Godsey. Play calling experience, I think, could be really big for them, especially because of the timeline. Now, is play calling experience a must? No, I don't think it's a must have, but I think it could be definitely important. If you want to look at internal people who have had that for the Ravens, it is Martin and Godsey. Martin has experience as a play caller, and so does George Godsey. So it depends what the Ravens want and what timeline they want to be on in terms of play calling. If they want to have somebody who's been in that situation, has had game management skills in terms of actual live NFL, do they want to go college? I know Matt Weiss is someone that Spencer Schultz and I talked about earlier in the week, but obviously there's a pending police investigation there, so not really sure how realistic of a candidate that is right now. And so, yeah, I think there are multiple candidates that we'll talk about. The Chef 87, something had to change after the offense went flat after the bye week. I mean, yeah, that would have been, I think that was probably the most optimal time to change it. Now, the Ravens, for those who remember, fired Cam Cameron after that 9-4 start because how John Harbaugh put it is they couldn't continue going down that road and they needed to get something different. And what happened that year, they went and they won the Super Bowl. Now, Lamar Jackson's injury did put a damper on things, but at the same time, I will wonder what would have happened if Baltimore would have moved on from Roman after the bye. But the thing with moving on from Roman after the bye was that before the bye, Baltimore had two pretty strong offensive performances where they had the game against the Bucs where you have Mark Andrews go down and Rashad Bateman go down and the Ravens end up winning that game. And then you have the Saints game where that, I think that was still to me the best wire to wire win that the Ravens had all year. Even, you know, talking after the season, I think that was still their best win of the season where the offense looked really, really good in that game. But then it was really after the bye week where things just took a turn for the absolute worst, where we were talking about it for the longest time. It was, well, the Ravens have such an easy schedule. They're going to be able to kind of roll over these teams. And again, any given Sunday in the NFL, you can't discount anybody. But at the same time, Carolina, Jacksonville's really good this year, don't get me wrong. But Jacksonville, yeah, Denver in that conversation, Cleveland twice, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, and the offense just never found a rhythm. You know, back in 2019, we were talking about how we wanted to have the Ravens put up all these 60 burgers and 50 burgers, and they were doing it. They were blowing out teams like 50-7 and like 48-6 and 30-13. Like, those were the days we were accustomed to in 2019, and now it was, you know, back in even 2021 and 2022, the Ravens had trouble at the end of the season breaking 13 points, breaking 16 points. And look, let's be real in the fact that Lamar Jackson probably had a big impact on that too. And the fact that when Lamar's on the field, you're probably going to score more points than you are with Tyler Huntley. And that's no shade at Tyler Huntley. It's just the player that Lamar Jackson is. So there are plenty of options for what the Ravens can do moving forward. I'm excited to see what they do in terms of who they bring in, because, you know, Lisa also says, Kevin, is there a chance we go inside and get a new offensive coordinator? Yeah, there's a chance that they maybe go with T. Martin. Maybe they go with George Godsey or James Urban. I was highlighting more Urban and Martin throughout the season if they were to add someone internally. But for me, I mean, George Godsey also, again, Martin and Godsey are the ones who do have play calling experience. And Urban's been somebody who also could make a good offensive coordinator. He's been with Lamar. He has really overseen his development. So I'm excited. Self-taught Gardner, is going to be a lot of coaches available coming up soon. There are plenty of, I mean, Joe Lombardi just got fired from the Chargers in that job. Nathaniel Hackett's another option I could see. Now, no Denver Nathaniel Hackett. It would be Green Bay Nathaniel Hackett I would want. Nathaniel Hackett is a very smart offensive mind. I just really don't think he was ready for the head coaching gig in Denver. It didn't seem like he was ready to take on that job. But as an offensive coordinator, maybe it could work. I think that would be, if there was a controversial offensive coordinator hire for the Ravens, depending on who you talk to, it might be Nathaniel Hackett in terms of, whoa, he sunk the Denver Broncos. But offensively, I do think he is very, he could be a very good offensive mind there. And Jametree Harris, we should get the Lions offensive coordinator. Yeah, Ben Johnson would have been great. So the news with Ben Johnson is that he actually is going to stay in Detroit right now. And he, I think, got a raise and he's excited for another season there. He was on the top of my list. I think that he could have been really, really good, but he made the decision. I think it was Wednesday. I think Wednesday he made the decision to stay in Detroit. So he's going to be there for another year, but he's going to get head coaching opportunities. I think after next year, Ben Johnson will probably be a head coach. Thoughts on potentially Nathaniel Hackett? Yeah, I think Hackett would be a decent option for them. Now, you're going to have to trust his offensive mind. Obviously, he's not going to come in and call the plays. That's what John Harbaugh is for. But Spencer Schultz made a really interesting point on our Wednesday show, which is, would the Ravens bring in somebody who would be a direct threat to his job? Now, I don't necessarily think Nathaniel Hackett would be a direct threat. I think that's more the Frank Reich aspect of this, where if things don't go well for the Ravens to start the season, would John Harbaugh bring in somebody, or would he sign off on bringing in somebody who would threaten his job in the event that the Ravens want to move on midseason? I don't think it's that huge of a deal. Like, I don't think John Harbaugh, like, if the guy is the right candidate for the job, I'm not going to say that the Ravens would, or John Harbaugh in particular, would disqualify someone because of that. I think the experience of Frank Reich is going to be really good if the Ravens decide to go that route, but there are other options that they can put in there as well. Mark, are you saying he couldn't hack it as a head coach? Yeah. All right. I'll give that one to you. That's a pretty good one. Lisa, I'd love to see a female offensive coordinator. We're going to get there, and I'm really excited for when we do get there. There are a lot of really up and coming female coaches in this league. I'm really excited to see when that is. I think for the Ravens, I mean, there's a female coach actually going to the Senior Bowl, I believe. I think a Washington Commanders coach is going to be coaching at the Senior Bowl. So that's super exciting, and I'm excited to see all that happen. But for the Ravens now, we'll talk a bit about in the final segment what John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta had to say, especially about Greg Roman, but Lamar Jackson, the wide receiver room, that's a key one, and more. So be sure to stay tuned. Still a lot to talk about here on Locked On Ravens. But first, I do want to tell you a bit about Built Bar. And if you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, you have to try a Built Bar. And for holiday resolutions, I know we're about a couple weeks into New Year's resolutions. And my goal, I want to eat a little healthier this year. And if you're like me, where you want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise, then I have the thing for you in Built Bar. So Built Healthy is actually tasty. And what makes Built Bar so good is, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter, brownie, and coconut almond, and they only have 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. You can head to your nearest Walmart, you can go to Sam's Club, you can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate coconut puffs, or grab a 13-bar box with brownie batter and churro. You can thank me later. Get your hands on some Built Bars today. We are back. It's our final segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with you live on Thursday evening as the Ravens and Greg Roman decide to part ways. John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta have their end of season press conference, and it's a big deal. And I figured for when big news does drop, we will go live here on the YouTube channel for Locked On Ravens. And I had fun doing the first one. I'm having fun doing the second one here today. So we'll talk about a lot of this news moving forward. So when free agency signings happen, we'll go live during the draft as well. I'm thinking of doing maybe, I don't know, like a 6-hour, well, I'll see if I can actually do it because that's a long time, but a long free agency stream where we just live stream throughout the entire free agency, do live reactions to who the Ravens signed, who other teams signed. I think that'd be fun. But for now, if you haven't already, if you want to like this video and subscribe to the channel, we do, again, daily Ravens content 5 days per week here on this channel. So Ravens news, analysis, updates, we have it all for you, both audio and video form. And as a reminder, this instant reaction episode, it's going on live right now, but there will be a replay after, and also it's going to go up in audio form, and that'll be for all live streams. They will all go up in audio form after the fact. But let's now move into a little bit of what John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta had to say to the media in their end of season press conference. And I think it's really important because they talked about a lot of different things, and we have a comment here from Kill saying, wide receiver room is going to be changing a lot, huh? Should we buy it? It's funny because we kind of ask ourselves this question every offseason, right? Where it's, well, what's the weakness of the offense right now? It's the wide receiver room. The Ravens have found success with drafting some guys and signing some guys, but it's been a struggle for the majority of their franchise history, right? The Ravens have the 22nd overall pick. in the 2023 draft. The only other time Baltimore had that pick was Mark Clayton out of Oklahoma. And it didn't go well, spoiler alert. So for what the Ravens have now, they trusted their young guys in 2021. Didn't work out. They couldn't afford Rashad Bateman to go down. They couldn't afford Devin Duvernay to go down. They both go down. And you're relying on 36-year-old DeSean Jackson, a waiver claim of Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, who was brought in August and was de facto your number one wide receiver for most of the season. So when talking about it and just the state of the offense in general, John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta both saying that, like, yeah, the wide receiver room, they're going to look at that positional group because I agree with what they had to say about the offense. And I kind of talked about this on my shows where the offense right now, let's go down the list. Assuming Lamar Jackson comes back, quarterback is Lamar. You're set. Top tier quarterback. Running back, you have J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards and Justice Hill. You're set there too, right? You're set at quarterback. You're set at running back. If you want to throw fullback in there, you got Patrick Ricard. You don't have to worry about that. Wide receiver-wise is the question mark we're talking about. Tight end-wise, Mark Andrews and Charlie Kohler and Isaiah Likely. And if you bring back Josh Holler, you're set at tight end. Offensive line, they did a really good job with their offensive line. The only real question is probably left guard with Ben Powers. What do they do there? But Ronnie Stanley, Tyler Linderbaum, Kevin Zeitler, Morgan Moses, you have Daniel Falele waiting in the wings, Ben Cleveland waiting in the wings. So quarterback, running back, fullback, tight end, offensive line, you're pretty set. And so what Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh were saying was, yeah, you know, we're pretty much set at all those positions, but what's the wide receiver aspect of things? So I think there's a lot that they could do there. The top two avenues for me are, well, there are three actual avenues. It's free agency, draft, and trade. I am on the side of going after a DeAndre Hopkins. Now, you got to make the money work. You don't have unlimited money. And I know the saying, the cap is cap, the cap is not real. And you can maneuver it. You can wiggle around it a lot, but you do have to pay these guys for the most part. And so what I think the Ravens could do is if you can bring in a DeAndre Hopkins type player, pure number one guy, a veteran, a proven option, that is where I think that's my number one choice. Because if you want to go the draft route, you can. There are a couple really good options in the draft who you could sign and who you could, I guess, well, undrafted wise, there are going to be some guys who fall in the later rounds where it's like sixth, seventh round that maybe will slip into undrafted free agency that you could sign. But in terms of first round talent, there are some talented guys. Now, the Ravens don't have a second round pick this year, so I still think that at 22, they could probably trade out of that spot, pick up like 29 or 30. And I still think there'd be wide receivers there. Like at 22, you're maybe looking at your Jordan Addisons, your like those type of players. But at 29, 30, you're looking at the late first, early second round prospects. So I think what the Ravens should do is, you know, maybe there is a DeAndre Hopkins available who it's been very clear that he will be probably made available. Maybe you talk about a Brandon Cooks. I think unrealistic options, DJ Moore, maybe that is where you're looking, but the free agency class wide receiver wise is not super strong this year. It's like Juju Smith-Schuster, it's DJ Chark, Jacoby Myers, Alan Lazard. Those are solid players, and I think that the Ravens should make two moves a wide receiver this offseason. I think it should be the trade for a star, and then whether it is a free agency signing like a veteran wide receiver 3/4, and then maybe you can sign an undrafted guy or you can bring back DeMarcus Robinson as like your fifth or something like that. So hypothetically, it could be DeAndre Hopkins, Rashad Bateman, Devin Duvernay, DJ Chark, I'll just say is a free agency guy, and then DeMarcus Robinson. I think that, I mean, that's worlds, eons better than where you were last year as a wide receiver group because you have the proven option. And just imagine a new offensive system. I know everybody's been talking about the pro-style offense, and Spencer Schultz said that watching the amount of people not know what a pro-style is today has been fun because that's been the topic of conversation. Lamar Jackson put out a tweet. I think he retweeted something or quote-tweeted it about him being in a pro-style offense under Bobby Petrino at Louisville, and he said, thank you. So Spencer kind of defined what pro style means. And he says a pro style offense in 2022 means full feed reads/progressions in the pass game, more generally changing alignments and assignments of different players as opposed to running limited formations and limited route trees like Phil Longo's offensive does, for instance. That's why those that studied Lamar Jackson knew he was more prepared for the pass game at the NFL level than given credit for. He was making full field reads and progressions, just needed some mechanical work with his base. And so I think if you can imagine Lamar Jackson in a spread or pro style or whatever type of offense with the DeAndre Hopkins and a Rashad Bateman, like, I think Rashad Bateman has the wide receiver one genes. I think he can be that guy for them. But using him as a wide receiver two, that could be a really cool thing. So I think, you know, there's a lot of wide receiver discourse. I mean, even in the chat here, we have, you know, Mitchell saying, I can see the Ravens going for someone like Michael Thomas, guy who needs to prove himself off of an injury because the Saints are moving on from him. Michael Thomas has been a topic of conversation for a pretty long time in Baltimore for the last, not quite the Julio Jones or the Antonio Browns, where we were talking about those guys like every single day for years. But Michael Thomas, the injury concerns are real. He's been very injury prone over the course of his career, but there's no doubt that he is a very talented player. But are you going to take a chance on that injury history? Because if he goes down and you spend all your, you know, draft capital, cap space that you'd allocate to the wide receiver position on a Michael Thomas, is that going to, it would sink you if he gets injured and he can't play. So that's that. Mark says, I know it isn't realistic, but DK is my ultimate prototype for a Ravens receiver. Big physical deep threat who will play physical and block. I love DK Metcalf was my number two guy in the 2019 draft. Number one was AJ Brown. I'd love DK Metcalf in a Ravens uniform. Unfortunately, yeah, I do think it's not that realistic, but that to me, that is the home run move. Sign me up for DK Metcalf. Pedro Worms, trade 2023 and 2024 for Hopkins, draft Smith and Jigba on a first and sign a guy like Lazard for sideline and traffic throws. That'd be going all in, because then imagine that you'd have Hopkins, Smith and Jigba, Lazard, Bateman, Duvernay. Pretty much Duvernay would be what, your five in that situation? I think Duvernay would probably be your five, and that's like a luxury to have Duvernay, who I think is actually a very proven like wide receiver 3/4. That's where I'd put him in. But if you're going all in for DeAndre Hopkins and Alan Lazard in free agency and you take the first rounder, that's a lot. But I do respect that, you know, going all in on the wide receiver. And he clarifies 2023 and 2024 third round picks. I see. So not first, third. I like that a lot more than the two firsts for Hopkins. I think that's a lot more realistic. And a first for Hopkins, I think, would be an overpay. I think a third and a third, a third and a fourth, I'd do that because you have a window. I think you have to maximize that window, even though for Lamar, he's going to be on 45, 50, whatever it's going to be with guarantees and total guarantees and fully guaranteed. There are different languages when it comes to guaranteed money, which we have to look at for Lamar Jackson and whatever his deal is. But I do know for the Deshaun Watson deal, that is what kind of has mucked this up a little bit for the Ravens. Lisa saying, any USC wide receivers available in the draft? Jordan Addison, who transferred over from Pitt. He's electric. I think that he'd be really fun in the Ravens offense. I don't know if that's the prototypical system that the Raven or the prototypical player in a new system. And I think that's what we're going to see over the coming days and weeks and months, however long it takes for the Ravens to go out and find the new offensive coordinator. What receivers, what personnel are going to fit within their offense? But I love Jordan Addison personally. Mark, Lamar is great at extending plays, give him deep threats. Yeah, for sure. Lamar is great, you know, both as a runner and as a thrower. He's someone who is electric, and it's the Lamar Jackson effect. We talked about the Roquan Smith effect a lot on defense this year for the Ravens, but offensively, teams have to game plan. Teams have to prepare for Lamar Jackson because of his threat with his arm and with his legs. But this is a player that I want to see him in an offense that lets him fully spread his wings. And I think in the Greg Roman offense, it didn't do that. So maybe Greg Roman goes somewhere and is great somewhere else. He helps another quarterback develop, and that's fine. But I think for the Ravens, I do want to see for Lamar, him in just a different offense. I want to see what it looks like him in a Ravens uniform there. And Nana Rave 8, Juju doesn't want to be here. Yeah, there was that thing. But it's different because I think when Juju talked about it, I can't remember what podcast it was. It might have been the Michael Irvin podcast. He talked about how, look, it's not about Lamar. He wasn't saying he doesn't want to play with Lamar. But in the offense that the Ravens were running at the time, it was too run heavy for him to be there. So maybe things are different this time around and Juju wants to come play with Lamar. I don't know. But I think Kansas City likes Juju a lot. And I don't think that that's necessarily a super, because Juju had a good year for the Chiefs this year. So maybe he just stays there. Lisa, pay LJ for his qualities he brings to the Ravens purple. Absolutely. 100% on the trade. Mike Evans is interesting. Officially Big Rome says, what about Evans? Evans is super interesting. They'd have to make the money work, but he's a baller. He's a playmaker. He's someone I'd be super excited to have in a Ravens uniform. It's kind of like the big swings, I think. So the unrealistic big swings, I think, would be the DK Metcalfs, the Michael Thomases, the Mike Evans. I think a more realistic big DJ Moore in that conversation too. More realistic big swings, I feel like, would be someone like a DeAndre Hopkins, maybe a Brandon Cooks on the lesser side of that. Maybe Adam Thielen is someone you could look at as well. But it seems like the Ravens are really, they seem serious this time. I know we say that every offseason where it's like, all right, it's the same conversation and then they don't do anything about it. But it feels like to me they see, and again, they call the Eric DaCosta, John Harbaugh press conference the liar's lunch, and they do for a lot of these end of season press conferences for teams across the league, because they're not going to give you your entire offseason. You're not going to give your entire offseason to-do list, checklist right then and there. You're going to be honest about things, but maybe you're going to skimp around some questions here and there and not give out the full blueprint. So wasn't Thomas released by the Saints? I don't think he was released. I think there was a restructure and they might be looking to move on from him in that situation. Evans, Darian, get Lazard, get Kayshon Boutte. Yeah, both those guys are big. Pedro Duvernay could be my fifth option, plus Deebo Samuel role, plus returns. Look, if Devin Duvernay is your fifth option, you're living pretty. You're living pretty in whatever offense you're running, because I think Duvernay has the talent, you know? So the Ravens will do a very early prediction here. I think they keep six wideouts, and if you have Duvernay as your five, you're absolutely set. Kill says, EDC confirmed the salary offer the NFLPA leaked earlier in the year was true. And so now the conversation does really shift. You know, the Ravens, and they have the potential to be Super Bowl contenders if they are able to make the right changes and are able to hit on the key story points and make the right decisions there. The first one was Roman. I think they made the right decision with that and the parting of ways. But now the second becomes Lamar. And to me, look, if you're having Lamar be invested and be involved in this offensive coordinator process, he's probably going to stick around. That's at least my hope. That's what I'm kind of hanging my hat on here. Because if the Ravens say, hey, Lamar, who do you want to be the offensive coordinator? You know, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about that guy? And then they hire the guy and then Lamar leaves. You're kind of sitting there and you're like, well, now what? What do we do? So now the attention turns to Lamar Jackson. Is it $130 million guaranteed? $133 million? Is it total guaranteed or is it fully guaranteed? Because sometimes there are thresholds of guaranteed money and languages in different contracts where if you're not on the roster at a certain point, that money isn't actually fully guaranteed. It's whenever you're on the roster at a certain point, mostly during the new league year, that's when that becomes fully guaranteed. So that's why there are outs in certain contracts with total guaranteed / fully guaranteed money. So a lot of this for players is also why big signing bonuses are very important, so you get that money up front. So there's a lot, and we'll talk about that throughout the course of the season or the offseason here. But there's no offseason here on Lockdown Ravens, so it's technically still our season here. Self-taught Gardner, D-Hop, Bateman, James Washington, D-Rob, Duve, and Shamar and Moore. So I think Shamar Bridges and then Jalen Moore, I think, is what self-taught Gardner Sean is. That's a good group. I mean, James Washington is kind of that underrated veteran-ish option, was cut by the Cowboys, suffered an injury, so that's one you could look at. There's a lot. Evan's saying a lot of wide receivers coming out in the 2023 draft. We have comments coming in left and right here, so I apologize if I missed any. I'm trying to get to as many as I can. Homa of 985, Lamar run a pro-style offense, he can. Zeke saying pay Lamar all of his bread, he deserves it. Absolutely. Felix saying $200 million. Lisa sign LJ long term, no trade clause. Oh, Ingraven's here. We got Ingraven vids in the chat. This is my man right here. We got to get you on one of these, Ingraven. I'm excited. I'm diving in. This is my second live stream. I did the first one after the Ravens and Bengals game. This one is a little more, I guess, exciting because the first one was after a playoff loss. But if you haven't, go check out Ingraven and his work. He does a great job over there. A featured guest here in the Locked On Ravens intro hype man, by the way. He's dancing in the room while the intro is playing. So go check him out. But this is an exciting, well, I'd say it was a good day for the Ravens in terms of what they did today. I think it was the right move and the necessary move. You know, there is a human element to these things too. You can't look past that where, you know, this is a guy who gave his all to this organization. So we'll look at it. You know, TJ saying, please look into Chris Beatty, Chargers wide receiver coach, as a possible offensive coordinator option. Yeah, you know, they just fired Joe Lombardi, so maybe they look internally and maybe the Chargers hire him. But there are plenty of coordinator options. Like, there are 10 teams right now looking for coordinators. The Chargers, the Patriots, the Bucks. You know, they just fired Byron Leftwich over there in Tampa. So there are plenty of options when it comes to offensive coordinators. But to me, which job is more attractive than the Ravens job? You know, because again, their offense is pretty set outside of wide receivers. You can go in and kind of implement your own ideas while being able to talk with Lamar, talk with John Harbaugh. And again, a lot of it does hinge on Lamar and what Lamar does and what he feels like. But I don't know. It just felt like the way the Ravens were talking, or John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta, at least, were talking about the Ravens, their outlook, and Lamar Jackson's outlook. I feel a lot more confident now than I did maybe 10 hours ago about the prospects of Lamar staying in Baltimore. I was always thinking he was going to stay, but at the same time, I was, you know, what if they do retain Roman? Is there serious unhappiness? So I'm not saying it's set in stone. Obviously, that still has to, the official announcement has to still come. I'm not going to put anything out there until it actually happens. But for me, there's optimism here. There is hope. And for me, I'm just looking forward to what the Ravens do at the offensive coordinator position. Mitchell says, I think the San Diego job is more attractive. Los Angeles job, Los Angeles Chargers now. When did they go? Like 2018, they went over to Los Angeles. Regardless, there are arguments, but I don't know. I still think the Ravens job is a little more attractive than the Los Angeles job, in my opinion. Chris Ming 401, I for one will give Greg Roman one more shot. Just saying, there's been conversation about, like, you know, just from fans about whether they should, you know, put him in a different role. There was never going to be a demotion, in my opinion. You know, it's not like any disrespect type thing, but a guy is most likely, especially at this level, not going to take a demotion to a run game coordinator or something like that. So I think Roman is, you know, That ship has sailed. It's officially over, and they'll look for new guys. Ideally, Bobby Slowick with LJD, Hot Bait, Chark, Robinson, and Duve from Jay. Yeah, Bobby Slowick's interesting. 49ers guy, wide receiver coach over there in San Francisco, who I think has done a really good job. I mean, people talk about Joe Brady, who's the Bills quarterback coach right now. Or wait, Bobby Slowick is the pass game coordinator, not wide receiver guy. He's the pass game coordinator for the 49ers. So Kyle Shanahan tree type guy. Evan saying, wait, so technically the Ravens weren't really trying to fire Greg Roman. I don't know if that's the case. I just both sides moved on. That's really what it came down to. Liesl saying, as long as LJ isn't injured, the injuries to Lamar happened more so in the pocket. They were throwing injuries. I know there are a lot of false narratives being spread about Lamar in terms of his injuries. And, you know, oh, well, it's because of his playing style, and it's, you know, because he's a running quarterback, and that's just, it's not accurate. So it is important that for Lamar, he doesn't get injured, but this is football. Everyone gets injured. You know, people do go through that. So I'm not blaming Lamar Jackson for his injuries and what happens there. Right. Slowick is the passing game. Jay clarifies. So passing game guy over there in San Francisco. And Agro Valley Farm, only thing permanent in life is change. It may be uncomfortable, but it is necessary for improvement to occur. That's a good way to end this. That's a very in-depth quote, you know, very big brain quote, where it is. I'll read it again. Only thing permanent in life is change. It may be uncomfortable, but it is necessary for improvement to occur. So I think we will see improvement from this Baltimore offense. But again, there are a lot of options. We'll talk about that on the Friday episode of Locked On Ravens. And we'll continue doing these live shows throughout the course of the rest of the season or off season. But again, no off season here on Locked On Ravens, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. We'll have it for you. Tomorrow is actually very special for me. It's my 900th consecutive episode of Locked On Ravens. So I'm excited for that one. We'll throw a little party in the first couple minutes about it. And then we'll talk about, again, offensive coordinator candidates for the Ravens. So thank you so much for tuning in with us here today or this evening. We're wrapping up around 7:15 p.m. Eastern time. If you haven't already, be sure to, again, follow this channel. You can follow along in audio form, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You can like this video on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. It's the same show, both audio and video. So if you want to listen while you're driving or cleaning or cooking or doing something, obviously, and don't watch YouTube while driving. That's where you listen to the show. But if you want to tune in, if you're free and you are available to watch the video version, it's the same show, so you're not missing anything, both in audio and video. I see we have a couple of comments rolling in at the end. Congrats to me and congratulating me on everything. So thank you for all the congratulatory messages. I'm thankful to be doing what I'm doing here on Locked On Ravens, and I'm excited to dive into another offseason of content. So be sure to tune in episode 900 tomorrow. We'll be talking offensive coordinator candidates for the Ravens after they do part ways with Greg Roman. Thank you so much for being here. Be sure to stay tuned for tomorrow's episode, and I will see you right back here tomorrow.